Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Ariano. This show is dedicated to nonprofit and community-based organizations, and it is also brought to you by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation. That is the Pearson Promise. I am so excited to be here today. My guest today is a dear friend of mine, and we were sitting around having a conversation about her travels. And I went, you know what? We have to have you on the air, Karen, to tell us about all of the really cool things that you've done, because there's so many lessons in that. So I wanted to welcome my friend Karen Zollman. Karen is a local resident here, and she has done something that not very many people would even think of doing. But she went and did it. You went and traveled to Saudi Arabia.
I did.
Yeah. And I think what is interesting about your story, and we'll go back and kind of build this up a little bit. You started out by hosting exchange students.
Yeah, international students through the community college.
So talk about that experience. How did you get started with that?
Well, I was approached by another friend that asked if I would host a young woman from Japan. And they had some host families back out, and so they were kind of desperate for two more families. It was a short two-month gig, so I thought, yeah, I'll try it. I thought it would be a great experience for my daughter, who was three at the time. And we really enjoyed it. So to some extent, that student cried the whole time, was homesick a lot. But still, we got a lot out of it. And it really gets you out of your reality and makes you sort of walk in the other person's shoes.
Right.
See what is foreign to them that we just so take for granted.
And so how many exchange students have you had?
I've had over 20 over the past almost 20 years, some for just a month, some for the school year. But it's very exciting now, because when we first started, there weren't cell phones and email. So I've lost track of a lot of the early ones. But now the later ones, they're on Facebook. We email several times a year at least. A lot of them still travel back to the United States. So more of a connection now.
Now, I've heard of exchange students coming from, you know, Japan and Korea and Germany and those types of places, but you've had some from the Middle East as well. What was that like?
Well, one of the second student we got was from Kuwait, and that was very exotic for us. We had a lot of trouble sort of figuring out how to handle that, but then kind of began to appreciate that culture. One thing you learn as a host family is if you bounce from culture to culture with each kid, it's even more disorienting than if you kind of concentrate on one culture and figure out how that works. And then you can kind of get into more depth.
So you went from Japan to Kuwait and said, okay, we need to pick an area. Is that what you're saying? Or?
No, actually, we had French students, we had Brazilian, we had, from Russia. All over. We had all over. But then I started to have a few more from the Middle East. After 9/11, it became very difficult for the young men from the Middle East to get a homestay. So because I'd had a number of them, I just started to kind of concentrate on people from the Middle East.
And are these students, high school students, college students, what type of people are looking to come homestay in the country?
Most of the young men from the Middle East have been, they come to study English first, and then they go to get their bachelor's or master's. Currently, I have one student that is going to be working on a bachelor and another working on his PhD. So there's a range there. I do kind of prefer somebody that's finished their bachelor, just because they're a little more interesting. The younger ones, they just want to talk about music. The older ones have a little more perspective on politics and culture, which is the big thing for a homestay parent, is you have to have conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I kind of run out of things to say when it's just about music.
Right, exactly. Now, your daughter, it sounds like she's grown up with exchange students. How do you think that shaped her life?
Well, I began to notice really early on that they would ask her a question, and she would answer. For instance, one of them asked her how to do something. She said, well, I don't know how you do it in your country, but in our family, Mm-hmm. We do it this way. And I thought that was interesting that she didn't even say our country. She recognized that there were differences between us and the neighbors. There was difference between us and the people, than her grandparents in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So she really started to see that everybody kind of has it different. So she framed this in, this is how my family does it.
Oh, fascinating.
And she, you would just see a subtlety in her, the way she interacted with people that was different than other kids. Mm-hmm. And now she's a 20-year-old, and she is so comfortable with international people, which at the university is a big plus. And she's just more comfortable trying different things because she's had to figure out foreign people, not just new people, foreign
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you had an exchange student from Saudi Arabia then. Is that what led to you going to Saudi Arabia?
I had, yeah, numbers of students from Saudi Arabia. And one of them was, I became very, very close with. A few years ago, he called. He was going to be taking a course for his work in Switzerland and ask if I would come and be sort of a companion to his wife while he was at school. So I went over there for 2 weeks. And then at that point, he said, you know, you got to come and visit my family. Mm-hmm. He comes from a really big family. His father has two wives. And one wife, 11 children, one, 10. So there's 21 children.
Wow.
So it was a really, really big family.
And
of that
typical?
Next older, well, multiple wives is not real typical there, but it's not atypical.
Mm-hmm.
But this next generation is having more like two or three.
Kids or wives?
Kids.
Okay.
Yes. Kids.
Okay.
But they're coming from families of 10 and more.
Huge families. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So how did you find your way into Saudi Arabia again?
So the student was Khalid, and Khalid said, you have to come. Well, then we found out it was very difficult for a single woman to go into Saudi Arabia. But I wasn't willing to get married to go. So we were just going to have
to. Wasn't that important?
Yeah. At one point, Khalid's wife said, she could marry your dad. And I was like, okay, back it up.
She was
we're
joking,
not doing
right?
this.
Yeah.
No, I think she was thinking that was an option. I was, let's keep thinking. I bet there's other good ideas. So
is this your first time out of the country?
No, I've traveled to other countries, you know, Mexico.
That was my extent,
London.
Karen. I've been to Mexico and I've been to Canada.
Yeah.
That's about
those
it.
Two, yeah. But also to London and to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a few places, but they all kind of spoke English, even Mexico. So
he calls you up and says, come to Saudi Arabia. And you're
so
like,
says, we're going to work on that visa. And so it took a couple years.
Wow.
And
why does it take so long?
Because for me to go, I had to have a sponsor. And that sponsor had to have references.
Mm-hmm.
And before I could even apply, he said, don't even apply till I get all these. And fortunately, he had gone to school with one of the many princes. And the prince was really sort of the thing that put it over the top as far as having the influence, they call it WASTA, to get the visa approved.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally called and said, okay, put your visa in, your application in. And then it was still took about 2 or 3 months to get that all done.
And
then
is that
suddenly,
because of Saudi Arabia's?
Yes.
So they're pretty strict about
very
who
strict.
Comes in and who doesn't. Okay.
And I was interviewed a couple times by the consulate in Washington, D.C., and they were not encouraging at all. Oh, you know, we really don't allow this sort of thing, and you want to do what? And I kept saying, I want to come visit the families of all these people. They finally called, the last time they called, again, they were discouraging, and I said, please, I'm not a young woman. I'm in my 50s, but for them, that's old. I said, I'm not a young woman, and I want, Khalid's wife was pregnant, and I said, you know, Khalid was one of my very favorite students, and now he is having his first child. Please, I want to come see the baby. And the one thing about the Saudi people is they are really family oriented and very kind of emotional in that mm-hmm. way. And there was just an audible, oh, over the phone. And I thought, I got it.
Yeah,
and sure enough, he called and said, okay, we're going to give you the visa.
Wonderful.
But it was basically, I had to travel within 30 days of getting the visa. And it was one-time entry. It was very restricted. I had to stay with my sponsor. So it's not like you get to roam around once you get there.
Interesting. Well, we are going to take a break, and we're listening to Karen Zolman. And Karen is a American woman traveling in Saudi Arabia. And when we come back, we're going to hear some really great stories about her travels. I also want to learn what Americans need to know about Saudi Arabia. So please come back to Walk the Talk with Kim. Thank you for listening.
Shadows painting our faces, traces of romance in our hair.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential work workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Thank you and welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. And I'm hoping all of you had a really great Memorial Day weekend. Eric, what did you do? Anything fun?
Oh, yeah. I went camping for a day.
I was going to say fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was it fun?
Yeah, yeah. I love getting out there with the campfire, roasting marshmallows and, you know, sausage on a stick and just, you know, having the s'mores and, you know, hanging out with friends and in the wilderness. It's great.
The hanging out with friends is really good. I live in the woods, so for me, camping I was feeling really bad for all the campers out there this weekend because it wasn't the best weekend for camping by any stretch.
It actually wasn't that bad. Friends that set up the campsite set up some tarps over the fire, like a little structure. So that was really nice. Even though it didn't rain on me while I was out there, you know, it was still nice to have that just in case.
Where did you go?
Went outside of Enumclaw. There's a little place, eastern Pierce County.
You're out in kind of my neck of the woods a little bit out there.
Yeah, yeah.
East.
Yeah, out there.
Out there. Yeah, exactly.
It was fun, though.
Well, good. Well, my birthday was this weekend, actually yesterday.
A belated happy birthday
thank
to you.
You.
Hope
thank
you had
you
a great
much.
One.
I did. I'm 41 years old now, and it was
and you
infinitely
don't look a
easier.
Day over 40. I got to say that.
I am a day. I'm 366 days over 40, as
but
a matter of fact.
But you don't look it, so that's...
Thank you very much. You're so sweet. No, so this weekend, I went down to go have a barbecue, and my friend came over and said, hey, I got tickets to go to this concert at the Showbox for a group called Biffy Clyro.
Cool.
And so we... drank a whole lot of Rumplemints and went downtown, and I relived my youth. It was awesome.
Heavy rocking Scottish ensemble.
Very much so. Yeah. No shirts, lots of tattoos. And I kept thinking the whole time, so I'm a product of grunge. I mean, I was 19, 20, 21
oh, yeah.
years old down at the Crocodile. Yeah, so
a flashback to the grunge
it
period.
It was, yeah. exactly. And so my friend was saying, they're like a cross between Nirvana. And I went, I'm watching them. I'm going, no. It's not the same. The
right.
vibe was different. It felt they were really good, and
yeah.
I liked their music, and I really appreciated it. But for those of us that were living in those grunge days,
right.
it wasn't nearly as polished, I guess, or nearly as it was grungy.
Right.
It was grungy. You know, the places were dirty. They were packed, and people were all over the place, and the music wasn't as together. It was good music, but it wasn't perfect. It was just
they're doing a different thing.
Yeah, it's just was
it
a little
grungy.
Different. But yeah, it was grungy. And
I think
just,
more showers are involved nowadays, which is good.
Definitely, I think a little bit more showers. I didn't see any flannel. So even from people from Scotland, that surprised me.
No, they don't wear that much flannel over there.
They don't wear much
anymore.
Of anything over there. They were no shirts at all. But they were pretty good. So I had a really great time. I got to go back
fantastic.
And haven't done that in 10, 15 years. So that we had a really great time this weekend.
Right on.
What did you do, Karen?
Just hung around the place and did some relaxing. It's really nice sometimes not to have to run around.
To have
and,
to run around.
My daughter moves out in a couple of weeks now.
Wow.
So we're preparing for my new life as an irresponsible mom.
Really? Is that possible?
Sure.
We'll see what happens. So are you going to get some more exchange students then so that you can be mom to the world?
Oh,
continue
I think
to be
I'll
mom to the world?
I'll always have one. It's very diversionary.
Yeah,
so
kind of like potato chips, you always
yes,
have to.
Yes, got to have one more.
So when they come, you've had so many of them now. Do you find that there's a common denominator with all of them when they walk in that door for the first time?
Well, it's changing because they have so much access to seeing our culture on TV and internet and so forth. So on one level, I think they are more accustomed to what they're going to be living, but it's still a great culture shock. And I find that when they first come, I have to just be real school marm as far as you don't do this, you do this, and get them sort of oriented and stay right on top of what they're doing so they
sure.
don't burn the place down or flood it out or something. We've
something.
Had some interesting things happen.
Didn't you tell me somebody was cooking in their room one time or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, and then some of the people from warmer climates, the Middle East, they have tiled bathrooms, so it doesn't occur to them to pull the shower curtain and they just, you know, flood the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So had to get on top of that real fast and... And because their language skills aren't very good, sometimes you have to do a lot of pantomime, showing them how you pull that curtain.
Including sure it's inside
yes,
the tub.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, tell the story. I know this is a little diversionary, but it was such a cute story about the, I think he was from Ethiopia, that took a bus.
Oh, Egyptian.
Egyptian. I knew it
yes,
started with an E.
He took a bus instead of going back to Edmonds, where I live. It went away from Edmonds, and he ended up somewhere up in Mukilteo. But he called and said, Mum, I took the wrong bus. So, of course, I said, where are you? And he said, I'm on Highway 99. And I said, dear, you're going to have to narrow it down. Is there a cross street? He said, yes, I'm by a bridge.
Oh, boy.
So it took a really long time. I finally said, is there someone you could go to? Do you see a store? So he says, yes, there's a gas station. And I said, go to the gas station and call me and have that person explain where you are. So he gave the phone to someone else who spoke English as a second language. sounded Asian, and he was at a Valero gas station, and it seemed like that person couldn't pronounce either the L or the R, so I didn't, I couldn't understand with the cell phone and the noise and the lack of pronunciation of consonants where the heck he was. But finally, then another customer came in and explained it. I finally found him. But, you know, he was kind of in a dangerous situation, that it was the middle of the night on a Sunday night, and he was stranded. And
I can't even imagine being a foreigner in a country and barely speaking the language and taking the wrong bus.
Right. So, you know, I explained to him again that when you get on the bus, make sure you ask where this bus is going. Don't make any assumptions.
Just because the bus comes by that you should be on it.
Yeah, just because it has that number. It doesn't mean it's headed toward Edmonds. It could be going away from Edmonds.
So. I've done that in countries where I speak the language. So,
yes, you
know,
have. Yes. Gotten on the wrong bus.
Yes, yeah. Now, it happened to me in London. And then when I realized, oh, we're going the wrong way, I asked somebody, hey, do you know what bus I should be taking to go the other? What you should have done. Great. Well, when I invent a time machine, I'll consult you again. Thank you so much. What you should have done. So it is hard, yeah, when you do that. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And, of course, I do worry about their safety. That would be I would hate to have anything really bad happen to someone that was staying with me. And, you know, so far, knock on wood, everything's turned out. But
so you get to turn the tides and you get to go be the exchange student over into Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
So did you know what you were getting into? I mean, what were your expectations?
I just wanted to go over and go native and then sort of solve some of the mysteries that I felt like were always floating around the room, you know, that you have these students and you keep seeing them do a certain thing and you think, what is that about?
Uh-huh.
But they can't quite explain because it's just so innate to them.
Did you figure one out?
I think there were a number of things. First of all, they live in really, really, really big houses that tend to be a lot of tile and marble and so forth. And they're loud. So I always, why are they yelling? And They just yell around the house, and they come from these really big families. So I think there's a little bit of competition for attention in a big family, and they do kind of calm down and get quieter as they live in an American family that's smaller.
But that sounds so wild to me, because usually you hear the stereotype that Americans are loud and boisterous, and actually not necessarily the case.
Yeah, initially, especially with the Saudis, numbers of times I would think that they were angry when they were talking to their friends. And it's like, no, we were just talking.
Oh.
But kind of like the Germans.
I was thinking the Germans are people from the Midwest are like that, too.
Yeah.
They yell at each other a lot. So,
Well,
give us a little bit of a history lesson. This is what the portion of the program that I call Kim's Dumb American Question. Give us a little history lesson. So Saudi Arabia, it hasn't always been big houses. A lot of these, you know, 100, 200, 300 years ago, nomadic tribes.
Well, there were some small towns as well. There was a, you know, town culture, but there were a lot of Bedouins. They call it Bedous. Mm-hmm. And they still have numbers of sort of nomadic people that they're kind of trying to rope into their school system and their culture that kind of don't want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Saud family basically conquered a bunch of the tribes and created this country of Saudi Arabia.
And when did that happen?
Oh, gosh. Boy, you know, you got me there. But I think, you know, like in the around the 40s or something like
recently,
that.
Recently. It's not, you know, not like American history. This is pretty recent events. So when you think about how many generations removed.
They're like two generations, you know, out of the desert. So a lot of the kids I've had have grandparents that basically, you know, grew up in a camel culture without modern conveniences and automobiles and things like that. So there's still quite a few people alive from that. And now, you know, now look at them running around with the Blackberries and the SUVs and everything. So.
And is it all oil money, or is there other industries and things going on there?
Pretty much everything's imported in Saudi Arabia. They don't make very much at all. So everything's imported. And you kind of see that when you go in their houses. There's nothing on the walls. Mm. It's just tons and tons of couches. Or A lot of them sit on the floor. The family I stayed with, we sat on the floor most of the time. We ate on the floor. They eat with their hands, but they were very kind and gave me a plate and silverware because they knew I wanted that.
So if you didn't have a plate and silverware, then they just put a big bowl down and everybody just took what they
numbers of dishes and you just reach and help yourself.
That's not so bad.
Well, one of the hard things is sometimes people didn't think I was eating enough, so they'd reach out and break off some chicken and put it on my plate. And,
okay.
And that was a little uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
But their food is flavorful, but not like super spicy or anything. You know, meat, rice, vegetables. It was
pretty
was easy for a foreigner to dive into.
Were you really surprised at the food? Were you expecting something different?
No, because, you know, you eat out here and we have a lot of Middle East restaurants, Indian restaurants, and it's those same flavors.
What's the influence? Is it a lot of American influence there or European influence, do you think, in what they buy and how they live? You said there were a lot of blackberries and a lot of imported things. Do you...
A lot of Western influence as far as electronics, certainly, and the culture there. But there's a huge culture from Egypt and India for and Turkey for the soap operas and for movies as well. You know, the Bollywood and then all of the Egyptian soap operas and Turkish soap operas that are just very over the top. Dramatic. You don't really need to know the language when you're watching them, you know.
It's like watching a Spanish
oh,
soap opera.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't
yes.
really need to know. You get the gist. So what was it? I'm hearing this. I'm like, well, it sounds like a great place to, you know, go check out and visit. But you were saying it was so difficult to get in. Why is that? What is there? What do you feel is this tension between, is it Saudi Arabia and the rest of the world, or is it particularly being an American?
I think it's their very, very secret sort of culture. Everything, you really get the idea that things are a secret there. And and that is a big part of the culture. Everywhere I went, somebody wanted to tell me a secret. And then don't tell, secret. And I just felt like I was this big repository for everybody's secrets that they wanted to tell outside their family, which are very extended. And that's just kind of not American. Americans, it's like, you know, they're just blurting everything
out.
You kind of feel
yes.
like we're always like, too much information. Thanks.
Right.
That's enough. But they're very, very, because they live in such tight circles, they're very careful to keep personal information because otherwise it'll go viral within the family. They don't need the internet. So you can't take pictures of women. They would hand their cell phone to a friend and everybody wanted to take pictures of me with them. You know, as a 50-year-old woman in the U.S., you're kind of invisible. But over there, women don't have access to Americans. Most of the Americans that come are men. So for them to get to talk to an American was a really big deal, and they all wanted to come live with me and please get my parents to let me come live with you. And it was just, they see the Saudis that come over and study do very well professionally, and they want to be part of that.
Wonderful. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about culture because this this gets fascinating for me. I love this. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Karen Zolman about an American woman in Saudi Arabia.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hey, my name is Craig Goble.
And I'm Dory Z.
And I'm Rob Gray.
And together, we're the best thing you can do on a Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. We're talking about leading-edge real estate topics.
Learn the ins, outs, and secrets of the real estate industry.
And why things work and why things don't every week on Real Estate Radio.
We'll tell it to you as it is, straight, honest, and from the cuff.
And where else can you listen to three real estate professionals who are doing this every day? We're in the trenches putting transactions together and solving problems.
Real Estate Radio.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano. Wanted to give you folks a little bit of an update from our past guests. Kristen Klein, if you remember Kristen, she was the young woman who was leaving for Kenya, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Now I completely forgot. Uganda. She did the Love Uganda t-shirts and was right. taking bunk beds. So she left last week and she's over there now and she's posting on her blog. So go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com and look at the archives and you'll see her blog information on there. So she's leaving some really good stuff and also posted on the Facebook page.
How's she doing over there?
She's doing great. She's fallen in love again with all the kids and just really having a great time. So we're just really excited for her and definitely want to give her some support. Also, last week was the Brains Matter Awareness Program for glioblastoma cancer research. And I had a wonderful time at the luncheon with Delanne Elliott. And I got to meet some really cool celebrities and just had a really, really great time. And what was interesting is we've been talking about glioblastoma, which is a very specific form of brain cancer. And that form of brain cancer comes on very, very quickly and is usually fatal. And so we had an opportunity to listen to people that had lost loved ones to this terrible, terrible type of cancer. And they had a gentleman who had survived so far 8 years with cancer, with glioblastoma, and had some really heartwarming stories. And so definitely really want to get around this organization. And a couple of other things on that same topic is Senator Ted Kennedy's son is waging a war and campaign against brain cancers. And also on the Walk the Talk with Kim page, I also posted a notice that they're looking at cell phone usage in brain cancer. And they specifically talked about glioblastoma brain mm-hmm. cancer as a possible link to cell phone usage. Hmm. So it's just all starting to really come together. And so definitely want to encourage folks to look at the Chris Elliott Fund. If you're on Facebook, it's Chris Elliott Fund for Glioblastoma Cancer Research. That's a mouthful. Just look under Chris Elliott Fund. And you can also go to www.chriselliottfund.org. And of course, you can go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com for more information. And also my Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim. And definitely want to get our arms wrapped around the support around glioblastoma and all different types of brain cancers. What the Chris Elliott Fund does is they foster and they fund education so we can start learning about these things and the risks. And they also provide very much needed social services to families that are all of a sudden faced with this. One person that I met at this event last week, I just sat down and was talking with her and I had asked her, you know, what brought her here to this event. And she told me that she was just diagnosed 3.5 weeks prior to this event with brain cancer. And she's a 40-year-old mom with small children. And she's a lawyer and all of a sudden had a seizure out of the blue and found out that she had brain cancer. And so she had, luckily it's not the glioblastoma form of cancer. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's slow growing that she's dealing with. There's a lot of hope and prognosis. But I can't tell you and stress enough that there's some incredible work that's going on out there, starting with the Chris Elliott Fund, but there's a ton of organizations. And to educate yourself before you need it, it's probably the way to go. So help is out there, and the more that we can help support these organizations with our dollars and our love and at least our awareness, that's going to help somebody live a wonderful life. And last thing is, last week we had Dance It on, and they are going to have their event of Dance for Japan. It's June 11th at the YMCA in Shoreline. And again, that's only $5, and they're going to have a little lesson so you can bring your kids and you can learn how to do some social dancing and swing dancing. And then they're going to have a full-fledged dance. So it should be a lot of fun. I have a friend of mine who does swing dancing, and she's gotten me talking to going. So you might even see Walk the Talk down there swing dancing around, or at least making an attempt to. So all of those really great updates just from the last three or four episodes of the Walk the Talk with Kim show. There's a lot going on out there.
Been jam-packed.
Absolutely. Well, Karen, let's bring you back on here. So we were talking about, you know, some of the interesting experiences that you had in Saudi Arabia. I want to talk a little bit about the political stuff, because I think when Americans, and I'll speak for myself, not all Americans, when I think of Saudi Arabia, I think of a very patriarchal, very close, strict, not women friendly, you know, doesn't sound like a, you know, hoot and holler and fun place to go. And in talking with you, it sounds like some of that may be true, but there might be some things that we're missing. What are some of those things? Am I right? Is that an accurate depiction?
Well, part of it is accurate. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things, when you come into a Saudi home as a woman, I'm ushered into the women's sitting room. And then I visit with the women, and then some man comes to get me. And if that man is not related to some of the women there, they all cover their faces so that he doesn't see them. He can't see, like, say, his sister-in-law. So then I'm ushered to the men's sitting room, and then I talk with them. And I can go in the men's sitting room because I'm a foreigner, and they all want access to the foreigner. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it's time to eat, so I would go back and sit on the floor with the women and eat in the women's sitting room. So there's a lot of juggling back and forth. One of the students I had was a cousin of the Saud family. So that family did mingle in more of a Western style. They were all Western educated. And when I was led into the dining room, you know, thankfully there were tables and I got to sit in a chair. Because you're not used to sitting on the floor. It becomes very hard. And yeah, then getting up and down, I felt very awkward and, you know, just always afraid I was going to lurch and fall over or something. But, you know, so very different culture.
How long were you there for?
I was there a month.
That's a long time.
Yes, yes. And so I got to visit about a dozen different families of students that I'd had. And it was really neat to get an updated picture. Many of them are married and have children now.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's so strange to see them with their children. And very interesting to see how excited they were to see me. Sometimes you think, oh, well, what's it going to be like? But I really shared a special time with them. They come into the country. They're so dependent.
Yeah.
And they miss their families. They share all their hopes and dreams. And you're just at this special time. Your own kids this age would not share these things with you. So
Yeah. You
really share something special. And it's a powerful time in their life that they always kind of remember. So
I could imagine. And mm-hmm. I can imagine that for them. They probably don't see a lot of foreigners to begin with, and mm-hmm. then to be visited by you, that must have been something for them that was pretty special. It doesn't happen every day for them. So it was like
a
celebrity
coming
to town. Well,
exactly, and I always felt like I was giving them somewhat a distorted view because I'm involved in surveying and engineering and so forth, and, you know, any given time I'm on the roof of my house, or I'm fixing, you know, something mechanical in the house, or digging under the sink. And they always, Mom, why don't you hire somebody? Because, but by the time they leave my house, I have them cooking a few simple things. I teach them how to use tools, everything. Because
on behalf of all women everywhere, thank you for portraying such a capable woman.
Oh, it's kind of fun. Yeah. They kind of can all people? Yes, mostly all. Yeah.
Most of them can. Now, you shared something with me that they were very emotional.
And yes. Even among the men, they will hold hands. Men in Saudi Arabia hold hands, or they'll lock arms when they walk. Mm-hmm. If a man is sitting by himself in a room and another man walks in, he will sit right next to that man and lean on him and even maybe hold his hand or lock arms or something. Very intimate and close to one another. The men have a great culture of support and sharing with one another that we would see as more of like the women culture. And the women have something similar. And I think that's something we're losing a little bit in the United States. We don't have these. I do. I have big women gatherings at my house. But I know a lot of women that feel like they don't have the women community that maybe we used
to. Or they have it, but it's not. I mean, this sounds like it's really intense. I mean, you're with women all the time.
Well, they don't have movie theaters, and they don't have other distractions. So other than going to the mall and shopping together or going out to dinner, that's about it. Mm-hmm. That's about it. So they get together a lot.
Well, no wonder why they have a lot of secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You and they keep have something a lot of, for yourself.
They have a lot of servants. Women aren't allowed to drive in that country, so we're driven around.
By who?
By men? A driver. And that's one of the strange things. So they have these foreign men from, North Africa or Egypt, Indonesia, whatever, driving their women around. So I think that's really strange that they don't want them with women, but they'll, And and then these odd things happen. Like one woman said, yes. I said, doesn't this kind of scare you sometimes to be with these foreign men? And she says, yes. When Khalid and she move out and she gets her own driver, she would like a gay Filipino man. And I thought, what? Because
that's
being
specific.
Gay is really,
wow.
Being gay is really taboo in that country. So I thought, how specific? And I thought, you can ask for that? So strange things would kind of leap out now and then.
And where do you think that comes from? And so I'm putting on my little sociology hat right now because it's just fascinating for me to look at cultures. And when you look at this particular culture, what's so fascinating is they did come from, like you said, living in a very different society to all of a sudden having money be no object and then watching them form and what decisions that they made about how they form. Has the religion changed? I mean, we think of, the famous Saudi Osama bin Laden and how he's been very much the religious zealotry, I guess we would call it in this country, is, to somebody else, just normal. Has it always been like that for them, or has that changed too as they've become more of a...
Well, one of the really, I had a very, very famous student stay with me. The human rights lawyer of Saudi Arabia ended up staying with me for the summer, Abdulrahman Alayham. And he, his most famous case was a girl from Qatif who was gang raped. And then because she was out of the house with a man not related to her when these men attacked both of them and gang raped both of them, she was sentenced to prison and lashing. And Abdulrahman defended her and talked to the Western press. So he was given jail time and lashes, or was supposed to be given, but his sentence was, both their sentences were commuted by the king. So, it is a theocracy. Uh-huh. So they have sort of a religious leadership as well as the monarch, King Abdullah. And King Abdullah is pretty progressive. He saw the country with Osama bin Laden kind of going in a bad direction, and he felt like he had to open it up. And now I think around 60,000 students get scholarships to study abroad, and it's changing everything.
I can imagine.
I would say that the students, they want more of a Western life, but they still want, they have a rich religious life mm-hmm. as well that I think they really want to hang on to.
It'll be fascinating to see where that organization, mm-hmm. where they go, because mm-hmm. if they're not manufacturing anything and if it's all about oil, that's going to present its own problem. We have to take a break, Karen,
sure.
because, you know, like normal, we're gabbing and I'm not paying attention for time. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Come on back and we're going to wrap up with Karen and her visit to Saudi Arabia.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor. Wednesday afternoons at 5. Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashen, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we are back on this final amount of time, which is not enough, but we're talking with Karen Zollman, and Karen has had 20 years of exchange students come through, many of them from the Middle East, and so she wanted to go visit and was invited to go visit Saudi Arabia, and we're listening to her stories. And Karen, I know you've told me you've kept journals, so yeah, I'm going to throw it out there. We'd love to see this in some sort of book format or something that we can read, because this is so important. It's so important mm-hmm. In this global world to really truly understand, pull the politics and the religion out mm-hmm. of it for a moment and really understand they're really not that much different. If you weren't born in that situation, you may not be any different. You know,
right.
We're all very, very right. similar. So learning about this, I think, is real critical. And so thank you for, first of all, being the capable, courageous woman that you are to go in the first place. And second of all, for coming back and sharing your story with us. Eric had a really great question. Eric, jump on in and ask your question.
Oh, I was going to say, and thanks for being a good representative for the mm-hmm. U.S. over there.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
We can use all the help we can get as far as
we could have had the international incident with some of us going.
So. Right. My question was as an American woman, what was it like to see a culture that's kind of known for being kind of oppressive to women? For instance, there's a famous case right now of a woman that got arrested for driving a car, which we would think is crazy, despite all the, you know, women car driver jokes mm-hmm. over here. We would still think that's crazy to yeah. arrest a woman just for driving a car. So what was it like to face that culture clash? And did you feel like you wanted to say anything about it while you were there to them? Like,
did you want to burn your bra, Karen?
Yeah,
did you want to step on a box?
No. Did you want to tell them how it was wrong? Or,
well, I had to wear the black abaya. Yeah. So unfortunately, I was there in March, so it wasn't too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple days, it did get up into 70, and I just really felt like, what a stupid color, black, for
right.
a country that gets 120 degrees in the summer. I mean, uh-huh. that's insane. But I did kind of like a couple times that I could just throw that abaya on a t-shirt and jeans
mm-hmm.
and didn't have to get dressed up. But then you have to realize how important eye makeup, shoes, and a handbag are, because mm-hmm. that's your signature The rest, otherwise, you look like everyone. And sometimes I'd get in an SUV with a bunch of women, colored sisters, and I wasn't sure who was who. Mm-hmm. And at one point, a bunch of women came in the house, and I hugged Khaled's mother, and she kind of waved me off like, what are you doing? Because she was covered, and I couldn't recognize them. Mm. But people from there, they're used to very subtle cues to be able to recognize their relatives and stuff, so they can pick them out. But they just looked like a bunch of black moving objects to me for most of the trip. But it has been really interesting for me over the last 20 years with all of the things that have happened in the Middle East, the Kuwait War, the Iraqi, the Afghanistan War, Egypt and everything, to have had these people sitting in my living room at the time. I had one student in the air, and he got turned back to London for 9/11. So, and then he was Kuwaiti, and then he came later. I had the son of the general of the Baghdad airport stay with me. We were just talking about Abdul Rahman Alayhim. He knows this woman, and so this weekend he was over at the house visiting, and he was talking about this woman and had talked to her on the phone and so shared that with me. When Osama bin Laden was killed, we had great discussions watching CNN, and one of my students that I have now, his father is a journalist with Al Jazeera newspaper in Riyadh, so he was calling and saying, what are they saying on American TV, to see if he was getting similar news.
And?
So very, pretty much.
Okay.
We heard people on CNN saying, that's terrible that they put the body in the ocean. Why didn't they give it back to the family? And my students were saying that Prince Naif, the security minister, would never allow that body to come on Saudi soil because Al-Qaeda had tried to kill his son. Mm-hmm. So, you know, none of that background ever came out in Western news.
Right.
So that was kind of disappointing not to have, when you see, you don't get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like Osama, I don't think he's relevant to the young people over there anymore. That's 20 years ago, and they want a different life.
I'm sure.
So this guy that wants to go back to the 12th century is not appealing to,
right.
to them at
I'm
all.
Sure.
As far as women, sometimes, a couple times, it felt a little oppressive because I couldn't get around. So connecting with some of the students that I wanted to, I didn't have the mobility because I had to get a driver or I had to get Khaled to take me there. I couldn't just jump in my car and go. Or I couldn't just, you know, get in the taxi and go because I didn't speak enough of the language. So, there were a lot of questions. Why I only had one child? Why wasn't I married? You know, didn't I want to get married? You know, how could that be that I didn't want to get married again? So they come from, you know.
Was it a place of, when they asking these questions from a place of judgment, or were they asking these questions because they really wanted to understand?
Well, I think they come out of their own culture, and they are experiencing a different culture, and they're mm-hmm. kind of asking you, how could this be? Do you want this? I would show a picture of my daughter. I had thought to grab one right before I left, and it was a homecoming picture. Mm-hmm. And she was with her homecoming date. And they wanted to know, is this her husband? And I'd say, oh, no, just a date.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of, oh, my goodness, you know, mm-hmm. because this is illegal. This is illegal mingling for them.
Do they not know that that's how the culture is here? Are they that shut out from...
Well, they watch
culture.
American television
so
all
they
the
know.
Time,
okay.
But I think they don't think about it. I mean, that's sort of separate.
Okay.
And then to see a picture, then they're confronted on a real sense.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of difficult for them to kind of realize that. And I did have a conversation with one woman who was telling me how bad mingling was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I kind of like it.
They don't even know the whole of it, do they?
Yeah. I said, pretty much all the world mingles, you know, even other Muslim countries. So Saudi Arabia is the only Muslim country that doesn't let women drive and that has this very strict no mingling. So they are kind of lagging behind.
That sounds like that's
going
to change.
But, you know, they were so, you know, you have to realize they were so concerned that I have a good time and that, you know, they were trying to be such great hosts. You know, I don't know that I got a real perspective of them. But I did get claustrophobic. There was some, I felt like a little Jane Austen moment where let's take a turn around the courtyard because you can't walk outside.
Right.
So you just have to walk around the courtyard all the time. It gets a little, I feel like the caged animal a little bit.
But it sounds like you had a wonderful opportunity.
I did.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on today and
Thanks,
sharing this
Kim.
With us. When I heard that you were going to come and you wanted to do it, I thought that's just so awesome. I love learning this stuff and you are a really great ambassador and I'm looking for your book and I will buy it or at least blog or something. You're a talented writer and we would love to hear more about
Thanks,
your
Kim.
Trials. You're very welcome. Thank you so much for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim today. We hope you enjoyed our episode. Next week, we're going to be talking with nonprofit organizations about how to start one. So definitely want to join us on Walk the Talk with Kim and you can join us at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Have a wonderful day. It's a beautiful